Wingsgroping.net.
From the Jethro's Barbecue Studios, where every Tuesday buy 10 wings, get 10 wings free. This is Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. For 75 years, NCMIC has been doing the right thing for its customers, employees, and the community. Now, here's Miller and Condon.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sport. Great song. 106.3 KXNO. Take you up until noon. Murph and Andy at 1, then the Fanatics in tonight's Cyclone Radio. With Randy Peterson, Travis Hines, they come on at 6. You know, there was a major distraction in the game last night at one point, and I had no idea about this prior to.
Matt Norlander again?
No, wasn't Norlander this time with his Guster is for Lovers.
I did see it a couple of times quickly.
Did you? I didn't see it.
Yeah, he was in
did they
front
move him?
Of self.
Okay.
Yeah, in this one, and very quickly, though, if it would be that shot that you'd see it, they quickly panned away.
So the game's going on and just into the game, and I'm following Twitter as I normally do. Mm-hmm. And then Brent Bloom tweeted.
Oh, really?
Yes. About the high-stepping referee, Jeffrey Anderson.
Okay.
And I had no idea about the dude.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently you don't.
No.
And you're lucky, because if you would have been, maybe you wouldn't have, but if you would have seen the tweet, I found myself watching Jeffrey Anderson, the African-American official on the floor last night, run. And he's a high stepper.
Okay.
And you can see some of the video of, Trent, it's hard to miss once you're aware of the way this guy runs.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it looks so weird, maybe the right way.
High knees the whole time?
Just the whole time, up and down the floor. I just bang my knee on the desk. I've never seen anything like it. Why would you run that way?
I'm glad that I didn't find out.
Because I watched him the rest of the game.
Sure, of course.
And I know I'm not alone.
Right.
I know there is. I'm looking at it right now. There's a fan account on Twitter. Let me get to it. I just will scroll by it. Jeffrey Anderson fan account, at high knees ref. And how many followers does it have? Because where does he officiate? Do you know?
I don't know.
Does he normally do Big East games? Or
must be. I don't know the name. It's not a name that jumps off to me. So, yeah, that's not. It's not a Ted Valentine.
No, it must be good though, because he qualified to do the national championship game last night. Was there a point in the game that there was only one bad miss? Lightfoot was pulled back in to Baycott, I thought, and they got Lightfoot for his fourth, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
There was one, that was about the only play that I can think of that was.
I thought Leaky Black maybe got a bad whistle, one of those fouls, but overall it was a well-officiated
game. I thought it
was.
You know what it was? It was they didn't get in the way of the game.
Thank goodness for that. Right?
We didn't come in here this morning talked about the floor buckling.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else, though, for the most part. But, yeah, thank you, Brent Bloom, for not ruining the the game. But
Bloom, go back to trolling Iowa. You're a lot better at that.
He was on it last night.
Oh, I'm sure he was.
Oh, he was. He found some obscure stat that only he could dig up in advance of it and put it out there. And what you would expect to ensue did exactly that. All right, so let's go back to those DraftKings win the division, the exacta, the trifecta, if you will. What do they call them?
The first one is Division Straight Forecast. It's under the Team Future tab.
Okay, so you have to pick the first two?
First two, and then you have the trifecta, of course,
like
one, two, three.
So like an exact in horse racing and a try. And right. Okay, so I asked you to find the on paper, the first one that comes to your mind, well, the Dodgers are a cinch. Mm-hmm. Who finishes second? Who finishes third? Well, you can immediately eliminate the Rockies, at least I think, and the Snakes. They have no chance. So then it's either, are the Giants second, the Padres third, or the Pirates are the Padres second, and the Giants third?
You're not going to get a very good price with
you're
these.
You're not, are you?
If you go Dodgers, Padres, Giants, 1, 2, 3.
Dodgers, right?
125 plus 125.
That's it. And what did you get on yours?
Plus 850.
And it seems like the White Sox are maybe not a cinch, but they're going
feeling
to win
pretty
the division.
Good. One that also jumped out is we were just talking with Brian Walton. We feel Brewers, pretty big gap.
Uh-huh.
Cardinals, pretty big gap.
Mm-hmm.
Just those two.
Figure out who's third. Oh, just 1-2.
Just do 1-2.
Okay.
And you figure, the price has got to be.
Got to be short.
Plus 145 is all, though. And again, this isn't a try where you need three teams in order. You just need the top two. Brewers first, Cardinals second at plus 145. I think that's a pretty good price there. Again, you're tying up money for
all season long till the end of September.
But then all of a sudden, you got some money to lose when football season's here.
Well, that's just it, right? Yeah. If you are struggling a little bit for the first couple of months of the season, right. Your team wins the World Series, all of a sudden you're flush,
right?
Going into the back half of the season, so I love betting futures. I do. I just don't, for whatever reason, don't get into betting games. The game itself. I just watch it from a different perspective.
Yeah, and you know, it's so interesting because you watch more games than anybody. I mean, there's nobody, certainly in this market.
I would be hard-pressed to think anybody watches more, yes.
That watches more sports than you do.
Right.
If there isn't anything on, you still find something
right.
sports-related that you're watching. So because of that, I would figure that day-in, day-out grind, especially baseball. Now, what if you do three games a day? Just say, every day I'm going to, and just see, and put your unit price on it, whatever it is, $5, $10, $20, whatever you want it to be, and just see how you do over the course
over
of the
over the
season.
Year? So you're betting, what, $15 a day?
Yeah, yeah. At a $5 level, that's what you do. And just see at the end of the season how you come out. Is that something that would that get you maybe a little bit more revved up? I just got to find three a day. Every morning, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to crack the newspaper. Guess no newspaper.
I wish.
Right. But you're going to look at those odds. You're going to look at the starters. Who's going today? And I'm going to find three. Would that be enough to get you?
No, I don't think so. I just like betting the future. It's just a bigger price.
Yeah.
It's a bigger payout once you get to that.
That's that horse racing background for you, right?
I think probably. By the way, Jerry Crawford's got a, well, we'll see. He's got his horse, Mo Donegal, is in a prep rate, the final major prep weekend. And if it finishes in the top three, he'll be in the Derby. So
good shot.
I think he can win the race.
Okay.
He's in New York at the Wood Memorial. So we'll see about Crawford. All right. Heartland College Sports, Matt Postens is going to join us here coming up. Look forward to talking to Postens. Pick his brain a little bit on the game last night. Did you see the story last week? He also covers the Cowboys. The Jerry Jones story that was out there for like a day or two and then very quickly went away. Not went away. It's still lingering. I don't know how you.
Was it about the kid?
Yes.
The illegitimate kid?
Right.
Or
well, the kid.
The one that was.
The kid didn't bring it on himself. It was dad, right?
Exactly.
He had nothing to do with it. It's a woman, right? She's a grown woman now. But if it's. And he's already given her millions. Mm-hmm. So he must know.
Right, yeah. He's not just doing it for the fun.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look after your daughter, for God's sakes.
That's weird.
It really, truly is. We'll take a timeout. I don't think we'll bring that up with Postens.
Yeah.
Maybe the car. By the way, there was a major trade yesterday in the NFL. The draft picks. The Eagles and the Saints doing some business. That was a big trade. Do you want to take a break before we do that? No, we'll go right into them? Okay. We'll get Matt Postens coming up. Yeah, I like it for both teams. I mean, the Eagles had three first-round picks. Now they're down to two, but they get an extra one next year, plus a second. And the Saints, you know, if you're in that division, right, you got to try and keep up with Tampa Bay and what they're doing. We'll see if that's going to be enough to bring in young players if they can find two starters in the draft on the offensive side of the football for the Saints. I think the Buccaneers clearly are still an overwhelming favorite, but I like when you see these. A lot of moving parts draft pick-wise yesterday in the NFL. We'll see if there's more of those coming up because there's multiple teams with two picks in the first round of the draft. We'll put the NFL conversation aside for now and get to our buddy Matt Postens from Heartland College Sports, where he covers the Big 12. Hello, Matt Postens. Thanks for coming on. Boy, the Big 12, you know, obviously there was no tournament in 2020. They won it last year with Baylor. The year the previous that was played, well, I guess 2019, Baylor, if it would have, should have, or Texas Tech, rather, if it would have, should have cut down the nets. They have been very good, putting it mildly, as Kansas caps it off last night. Big 12's made an impact last three tournaments.
Yeah, they absolutely have. And go back to 2018, Kansas was in the Final Four that year, too. And you talk about 2020, I mean, they could have had two number one seeds with Kansas and Baylor both playing so well at that particular moment. But, you know, any conversation about the national championship next season has to start with the Big 12, even though I know Kansas will take a hit. Baylor's taking some hits from graduation and stuff like that, but what these teams have shown, at least just in this year with the transfer portal now, they can make turnarounds happen very quickly and be a part of the national conversation. So, you know, it's the best conference in college basketball. I don't think anybody can dispute it at this point.
They got Brown going in the second half. He was going to the rim, making plays. They sped up the game. Agbaji started hitting, and Remy Martin in the second half. Oh, he was outstanding after a very, very rough first half of the game. Not the most talented Kansas team, but certainly one that will be remembered because of this national championship. How did this all come together? There was Remy Martin problems even before his injury. There was some disagreements, I think, with him himself about the role that he should be playing. McCormick at times has been in a bit of a problem, a bit of a headache for self. So how did this all come together throughout the course of this season?
Yeah, it was a bumpy season. I mean, you know, Martin with the injury, you know, McCormick's had his injury issues too. You know, Agbaji and Brown to me have been kind of the two constants throughout the year. Those are the two guys that have consistently played well for them all year. But, you know, really the last 2.5 games, going back to the second half against Miami, there's been a, you know, Bill Self kind of likened it to a switch coming on at halftime of that game. And even he admitted that he's not really quite sure what happened. He's never seen a team kind of flip a switch and just change everything like Kansas has the last 2.5 games. But you go back to the second half, and I think a lot of people thought down 15 that Ochai Agbaji was going to have to be the one that carried them. And he had a good second half. But, you know, you mentioned Brown, you mentioned Remy Martin, you mentioned Jalen Wolfson. 32 combined points in the second half. Yeah. When they needed two big baskets to win the game, they went to David McCormick, and he delivered. They got great defense from DeJuan Harris. They credited him for sparking that comeback. And the fact that they were able to close that gap so fast, I mean, that was what startled me the most. Yep. You know, they were down 15. They hadn't played well the last 10 minutes of the first half, and they cut that down to a one-possession game in 10 minutes. That was perhaps the most startling thing to me in terms of that turnaround. But, you know, teams do this. You know, North Carolina did this. They got in the tournament, and things just kind of came together for them. I saw them in Fort Worth, and they had two incredible games, especially the overtime game against Baylor. Everything just kind of came together for them. At one point, I think they were 12-8, and they ended up in the national championship game and nearly became the second 8 seed to win a national title. So it's, you know, you have such a concentrated season in college basketball, and you have a lot of ebbs and flows. And I think the most remarkable thing about Kansas and the job that Bill Self did this year was he remained consistent to who he was as a coach. He remained consistent with the players that he played and was just patient. And just, you know, they got to a point where everything finally came together for them.
Yeah, and it certainly did. I mean, you think back to on the calendar, the Big 12 SEC Challenge came together late January, I believe. Game day's there. They're at Fog Allen, Billis and company. They're doing a big thing. Kentucky's in town. And Kentucky destroyed them. Fast forward, Baylor picks them off. TCU. Then they see TCU. Didn't they start the Big 12 tournament with TCU? They played them back-to-back games, right?
Those were regular season.
Were they regular season?
Yeah,
okay.
Regular season.
Okay,
yeah.
but still, they split that. They didn't look as though they were playing their best basketball at the right time of the year. And don't look now, they reeled off 11 straight at the Big 12 tournament and then the six to win it all. Matt, there is that proverbial switch that we talk about.
Yeah, and you talk about that Kentucky game. Right after that Kentucky game, they kind of said, you know what, we're not going to play Remy for a bit because of the ankle. Self acknowledged that McCormick was not going to be 100% the rest of the season. It was as if that loss sort of recalibrated his thinking about what that season might be for them. And kind of acknowledge that, you know, we've got some issues we have to work out, and it's going to take some time for us to work it out. And it took them pretty much the rest of the regular season to work that out. You know, David McCormick was not terribly consistent until they got into the Big 12 tournament. Remy Martin didn't get his knee right until the Big 12 tournament. But once everybody got right, you know, those last 8-9 games of the year, they've played some of the best basketball they've played all year.
So looming over all of this, of course, is the violations, 5 level 1 violations, as we're over 900 days since that was were handed down. Bill Self and company, they've doubled down and are pleading their case. Ultimately, many people believe they won't be eligible for next year's tournament. There might be a big, big penalty for Bill Self sitting out games, maybe even the whole season. Does that taint it, in your view, looking back upon it? Does it change your perception of Kansas basketball? I know the fans don't care. They got a title, and that's all they care about. Yeah. But what does it do for you, Matt Postens?
I don't know. It's the violations we're talking about have nothing to do with these guys on this mm-hmm. team. I mean, that stuff happened 4 or 5 years ago. So the real thing to this, and I was talking to Pete about this on our podcast. I am of the mind that I don't think Kansas is going to get punished that severely.
I'm with
and
you.
Here's why. The NCAA is so distracted with name, image, and likeness, the transfer portal, mm-hmm. rewriting the constitutions for the three divisions, and they've shown an utter lack of consistency in how they punish programs for these sorts of things. I mean, you talk about Kansas and these level one violations they're dealing with. They're still going through the investigative process 3 years later. North Carolina, on the other side, was a part of one of the biggest test cheating scandals in NCAA history.
Slapping the wrist.
The NCAA wrote that off because they said, well, you know, non-athletic students had access to it, too. So, I mean, I just don't think the NCAA really cares that much anymore. And I think they're so distracted by all this other stuff that when they finally do get around to punishing Kansas, it might be a year's probation. It might be, you know, Bill Self might get like the 4-day show cause that Dan Mullen got at Florida last year for mm-hmm. recruiting. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it's going to be that severe. And I think that's going to start becoming more the norm, because as they rewrite this Division I constitution, I think the schools are going to start having a lot more say over how these things are applied. And I don't think the schools, especially the big ones, really care that much.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I totally agree with you. It wasn't these kids. There's a cloud. There's no doubt about it. But like you, man, I'm kind of the same way. I'm just not sure that the hammer is going to fall as hard as a lot of folks believe that it will. So let's talk about last night. And, you know, I'm still, it's confusing a little bit as to when you talk to or read the national media on Twitter. They can't find anybody that voted for Agbaji as the most outstanding player in the tournament. That's kind of, it seemed like it was McCormick's award, right? What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about the context of those two games, and it is a Final Four Most Outstanding Player award, you know, McCormick certainly had
25-9 the other day, did he not?
Yeah, he had the biggest impact in both of those games. Like, Agbaji certainly had a big game, and he was a big part of that semifinal win.
Yeah, but 6 for 6 for
he was less a part of that title game win. And, you know, the way that ballot comes out now, you get that ballot about, you know, as somebody who's voted on those before, you get that ballot about 10 minutes before the end of the game. And the only thing that I can think of is that McCormick hadn't hit those two big shots at the end of the game.
Yeah, it's
not like
you
get to wait till the end of the game to cast that ballot. You've got to do it about, you know, 5 minutes before the game. And so you've got to make a decision. And I find it really interesting that nobody's copying to the fact that they, you know, voted for Ochai as the most outstanding player. It's not a bad vote. He had a great Final Four, but I think McCormick, you can certainly argue, had the more impactful performance of those two players.
You know, we look at this league, back-to-back national championships. It is year after year, the number one ranked league in Ken Pomeroy's rankings, any analytical system. They have championships. They have multiple teams that have done it. And yet there is change that is happening. Looking to the future, the additions of Houston, preseason top five team next year, BYU, perennial solid team, Cincinnati, historically one of the best programs, and Central Florida, sleeping giant here, Big 12 basketball, minus Texas and Oklahoma. It might sound crazy to say.
It's going to be better.
It's going to be better.
I think it is.
Are we wild here?
Basketball-wise.
Basketball-wise.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, from a football standpoint, losing Texas and Oklahoma definitely hurts the conference. But from a basketball standpoint, it doesn't hurt them that much because, you know, Texas has never won an NCAA tournament title. I don't think Oklahoma has either. They've always been very good, consistent programs. But, you know, when you think about the Big 12, you don't think about, that's not the team that immediately leaps to mind when it comes to basketball. It's Kansas. It's Kansas State. Yeah, it's now Baylor. It's now Texas Tech. Those are the schools you immediately think of. So you invite a school in like Houston, like you said, which is now an elite program. They're not a really good program. They're an elite program now. They're recruiting at a 5-star level. Baylor's recruiting at a 5-star level now. You know, several of these schools now are recruiting at the same level Kansas is recruiting at, and that's why you see Tech and Baylor and Kansas in consecutive tournaments get to the national championship game, because they're able to find, you know, their path in terms of how they want to develop and curate talent. And that's only going to get better. I mean, Baylor's got another five-star kid coming in Keontae George next year. Langston Love, who was their five-star kid, set out the year with an injury. He's coming back. So Baylor's not going anywhere, even though there's going to be a lot of change at the top. And Jalen Bridges, the transfer from West Virginia, one of the schools he's considering is Baylor. So they could get better in the front court, too. So it's really, it's going to be fascinating to watch over the summer how the transfer portal, you know, turns over. I know Iowa State's got to find some kids. Kansas is down to three kids on their Kansas State is down to three kids on their roster right now with their new head coach Jerome Tang. So it's going to be really interesting. But as TJ showed at Iowa State, Mark Adams showed at Texas Tech, you can turn it around really quick in 1 year with the transfer portal, or reinforce the success that you've had previously in Tech's case with the transfer portal.
No, you got to be willing to do it. Joseph Yesufu, Kansas. What I see this morning, Joe Toussaint is visiting West Virginia this week, so maybe he finds his way into the Big 12. You mentioned those coaches, I mean, Drew and Adams. I mean, it's terrific. It's a basketball league, no doubt about that. Matt Poston's Heartland College Sports as we bring it to a close. Football is next. Look forward to picking your brain on that as we get closer to it. But thanks for joining us as many times as you do throughout the season, whether it be football or basketball, Matt Postens. We appreciate your contribution. Look forward to catching up with you in the weeks ahead. Thank you, Matt.
Hey, sounds great, man.
Yep, good to talk to you. Thank you, Matt Postens. Heartland College Sports, really good resource for you Big 12 fans in the listening audience.
Scott Drew has built one of the best programs in the country at Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas is Kansas.
Yeah, Texas Tech.
A program that was a nothing.
Right.
For my whole lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Darvin Ham had one good year.
Right.
As he's breaking backboards. That was it. That's Texas Tech now.
Yeah.
Perennially top 20 team.
Yeah.
Fair to say with Adams going forward.
I agree.
And what he does defensively. We know TJ, what he's doing in Ames.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, there's a Hall of Famer in Morgantown.
Right. Who is going to give you a tussle every single time. TCU.
How is he not in the Hall of Fame until this weekend, by the way?
It's baffling, isn't
right?
it? TCU.
Yeah, look what the job he's doing.
And that's a team a lot of people have preseason top 20.
Hate the floor. Hate the floor.
Yeah, hate the floor.
Watching games there. Oklahoma State, they're back eligible again.
Mm-hmm. And the way that that team played for Boynton this year, knowing
played
that
hard.
Ultimately there wasn't going
to
be anything
to play
there.
For.
And they were out there competing till the very end of the season. Kansas State.
Now, Nigel Pack leaving's a blow.
Jerome Tang, though, a lot of people think that this is the right guy. That,
okay.
He was a big part of the success of Baylor is what he was able to do.
True.
And they went, they're going a different route, not going with the veteran coach or a guy looking to glob on somewhere. Instead, and go that route. This league is stacked.
Yep.
And it's going to be better.
Oh.
It's going to be better.
Indeed it is. We'll take our time out. Way to go to the Kansas Jayhawks. We'll see if indeed you think it's going to be...
I think there's going to be...
Major?
I do.
How long does... Would you fall off your chair of self-coaching in Maui? Around Thanksgiving?
Yes.
You would. Calendar turns to 2023 and the Big 12 is underway. Would you be shocked if he's coaching in game one of the conference?
I think we're going to look at probably an 8, 10, 12 game suspension for self. It's going to be a postseason ban, a 1 year postseason ban. It'll probably actually come out with two and then they'll hem and haw and go back and forth and it'll turn out to be a 1 year ban. And that will be kind of the teeth of it. There'll be. You know, you can't have as many recruiting visits. There'll be the different parameters that they put in there that, for you and I, don't mean a whole lot. Mm-hmm. But those will be a couple other pieces. But those will be the major ones that you see. Self with some kind of suspension and a postseason ban. It's five
level one
violations. It is.
But they're very their response to this was to blame the other folks.
Of course. Sue
that
the
press,
other folks.
The press release that they wrote up when it first happened... Deflecting the blame entirely, calling themselves, remember this? They called themselves victims.
They were
this.
The ones, yes.
Yes, we're the victims. Read the press release. I'm not making it up.
Not at all.
The victim word was, it's written.
And the NCAA has Bill Self telling an Adidas official, I need some real guys.
Yep.
What does that mean? I mean, it's not a strong-ass offer. Like
Wade.
Will Wade down at LSU.
By the way, have you seen that roster? They all left.
They don't have a scholarship player.
Zero. So you're saying there's playing time?
Oh, I can go in there and play right away.
11:30, back to baseball. When we come back, Miller and Condon underway. Oh, boy, more than underway. That we are in our final half an hour here on Des Moines Sports Station. 106.3.
Do you remember the last walk-off homer to win the World Series? It's been a while, but the answer is 1993. Do you know when Wolf Roofing started roofing houses? That's right, 1993. Wolf Roofing has been around for a long time. For your next roofing project, put the experience of Wolf Roofing on your side. Find them on the web at wolfroofing.net or give them a call at 515-225-8866. Or online, Wolf Roofing.
One for podcasting.
Global Direct Mail and Marketing is a local design and print shop that'll help you from start to finish. From design to printing and mailing it for you. From wedding invitations to birth announcements. And it's time to be thinking about those graduation announcements. No matter how big or small your project is, Global will work with you from creating a custom design to getting your project inserted into the mail. Global can design, print, and deliver. And Global can help your business grow with custom mailers designed to help you bring new customers through your doors. Located on 121st Street in Urbandale, or call Craig at 515-282-3000. 282-3000. It's Global Direct Mail and Marketing. Nice.
Welcome back, 11:35 on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Let's get to our guy Ryan Fagan, the Sporting News. He wrote a really good piece for you baseball fans out there. 22 things he wants to see in 2022, and I'm all for a couple of them. Actually, I think it was a colleague, one of his four writers at the Sporting News wrote. Regardless, I saw it on your Twitter account, and thank you for retweeting. How are you? Oh, I got to push the button here, Ryan Fagan. Let me try this again. How are you?
There we are.
How are you?
All right. Yeah, that was my the baseball editor, Jason Foster. That's kind of his annual thing. His little, he's 22 things. You know, last year was 21, and the year before 20, obviously. So, yeah, he has a lot of fun with that.
You know, one thing I noticed yesterday, Shohei Ohtani's in a Major League Baseball commercial. I don't remember what it was for because I was struck. How well he commands the English language. And I don't know if that was just a few lines that he memorized or he actually, you know, this offseason attempted to really learn the language. And he speaks relatively well. Is that something new, right? Because he always had an interpreter with him.
Well, he still does. I think, you know, he works at that just as hard as he works at, well, maybe not just as hard, but he works at that in the same, with the same manner that he works at his baseball craft. I think it's, you know, he still has his interpreter, okay. Ipe, but he understands, you know, and he could speak. I know he, you know, I was just in the Angels clubhouse a couple times in this past week, you know, and you could see him having little short conversations with teammates in English without the translator. I just think it's one thing to be able to say short things and have little conversations. Another thing to be able to,
right,
you know, answer interview questions and those types of things. But yeah, you know, he is, you know, I mean, he had an incredible year last year. And, you know, the truth is, if he stays healthy, he could be better this year than he was last year. That's a crazy thought, but it's very possible.
Well, we want to bounce around here, Ryan, get your thoughts on each of the six divisions as we have the expanded playoffs now, 12 teams in, six from each of the leagues. And let's start as...
And we reside in a sports wagering state.
Yes, which is an important part of it. So looking for a little help here also probably with that, Ryan. Let's start as you look at the agate type back in the old days of newspapers at the top with the American League East. Ken's Canadian.
Yeah.
He likes the Blue Jays. I like this team too, man. They feel stacked up. But it's still the Red Sox and the Yankees and, of course, what Tampa's built themselves into. Mm-hmm. How do you see this division shaking out?
You know, I'll be honest. I think that if I had to pick, and we're doing our predictions, we have to turn them in by 10 a.m. tomorrow. So we'll all see, right, how it plays out. But I think I like the Jays in that division. Yeah, I mean, me, you know, it's very possible, you know, all three wild cards come from that division. Mm-hmm. It's very possible that division gets four teams in the postseason next year. And I think the Jays have the best team. You know, they just do. You know, I think it's kind of a, you know, you look at what the track record is of the Rays and the Red Sox and the Yankees, and then you look at the track record of the Jays, and it hasn't been great lately. So it's easy to kind of default to picking one of those other teams. But this Toronto team is stacked. They've aggressively gone after mm-hmm. pieces that can be a big benefit to them, not just this year, but in the next couple of years. And I think, you know, I think when we look back 5 years from now at the American League East, we're going to look at the Jays in a very different light than we maybe do right now, because it's a team that is set up to not just compete for a playoff spot, for a wild card spot, compete for division crown, compete for the American League title, compete for World Series titles. I really do believe that.
Yeah, I'm with you. And when they came into the league, what, 77, up until this point, Dave Steeb's always been my guy. I was a big Dave Steeb fan. He was a terrific pitcher, as you recall. But, man, this Guerrero is something. And Bichette, they got such young talent on that team. We'll see. Let's go to the Central, where it appears to Trent and I that, man, the White Sox, I don't think that they've come back to the pack at all. I think the race is for second. Do you agree that the White Sox are maybe not head and shoulders, but clearly the deserving favorite to win the Central?
Well, I'll say this. There's two things that can be true, and they're going to sound a little contradictory, but you know, the gap that existed last year is not the same this year in that division. You know, I don't think they wind up winning by 13 games and have a double-digit lead over everybody. But that's not because they're worse. That's because I think the rest of the division is good.
Yeah.
You know, I think you look at Royals, and you know, they brought in Zach Greinke, and Bobby Witt Jr. is just going to be a star. You know, he's on the big league roster now. You know, they're going to be better, right? The Tigers played in the last like 3.5 months of the season. They were only like 5 or 6 games behind the White Sox, right, in terms of record. So, you know, you erase that bad start. You bring in the guys that they do. I mean, bringing in Austin Meadows, you know, you're going to see Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson. You're going to see guys that are the next wave of stars. I think that the Tigers are going to be, you know, in that mix for a playoff spot. You know, and I think with the White Sox, it's just, what does their pitching do? You know, Lance Lynn starting on the IL is not great. They didn't necessarily replace Carlos Rodon. They're asking a lot out of Michael Kopech, right? So I think that's the biggest question to me is how does that pitching look and compared to the rest of the division? You know, I mean, I think it's one of those things that they could easily get to 95 wins this year, but, you know, that's not going to get them 13-game lead in the division or whatever they finished with last year.
Twins were a huge disappointment last year. They were the favorite to win the division, finish in last place. They go out, make a splash with Carlos Correa, a 3-year deal that we all know is just a 1-year deal with the opt-out that is available there. But Buxton, if healthy, Correa, stud. This team's going to swing it. Is the pitching enough, though, to hang around? Do they have enough there with Sonny Gray, Joe Ryan, a lot of people like him, the youngster, he'll get the opening day start, Dylan Bundy, Chris Archer. Is there enough there to keep them around?
You know, they need, you're right. I like what the Twins have. I think they're going to be much, 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 much better than they were last year. But the question is you know, they had a lot of questions in the rotation, right? I love the Sonny Gray acquisition. You know, I like the buy low risk on Chris Archer. I think, you know, Chris Archer could be 43 years old and I'll still believe he's going to have a good year, you know, beat the odds. I just, you know, something about that guy. I like the way he competes. And, you know, Dylan Bundy, I don't have a whole lot of hope for him. I think he had a good year a couple years ago and that might be about it. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. They're going to be a lot of fun to watch. And, you know, I mean, if we're talking about our wish list for a season, a healthy year from Byron Buxton might be number one.
Yep.
You know, and I have no attachment to the Twins whatsoever, good or bad. But, man, that guy's fun to watch when he's healthy. And I just think it would be amazing, selfishly for me, to get to watch him play 155 games at full health and just see what he can do.
Yeah, that's one Jason Foster missed in his 22 things he wants to see in 2022. And I know I'll speak for a lot of Twins fans in that. Let's go to the West, where clearly the Astros are the favorite. I think the Mariners are going to be a major player. What am I missing in this Mariners team, if anything?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I love the acquisition, the call-up of Julio Rodriguez.
Yeah.
You know, I had the chance to meet him down in spring training last week. You know, just the type of personality and energy and obviously talent, but you know, all these things that he brings to the clubhouse, not just the talent he has on the field. You know, he's a star. He's going to be a star. He's going to be the type of superstar, you know, that we mentioned in a couple years, in the same way we talked about you know, Vlad Jr. and Juan Soto and Ronald Acuna Jr. a couple years ago, right? Yep. He's that kind of talent.
Is he a Wander Franco type of talent?
He's right there.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I mean, you know, he's a pretty much every scouting service, every organization that ranks prospects and takes it seriously has him as a top three guy. You know, I think he's number two at Baseball America. He's number three at MLB.com. He's two or three over Baseball Prospectus. You know, he's a guy that is going to be that type of star. I think a key for the Mariners is, you know, what does Gerald Kelenic do? You know, he had a bad, I mean, he was a much hyped rookie last year, and he just wasn't very good. You know, he hit a couple of home runs, but that batting average stayed under 200 all year. Not the batting average is everything, but it's an example of the struggles he had to consistently hit MLB pitching. And, you know, if he made adjustments and if he can be the type of guy that they thought he could be, you know, with he and J-Rod in that outfield, you know, I think, and adding Robbie Ray to the top of the rotation, they're going to be good too. And I think people are sleeping on the Angels.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of problems with the Angels in the past, but if they can stay healthy, if they can, you know, if Noah Syndergaard can be the guy they expect, you know, kid Reed Detmers is going to be a really good starting pitcher for them as well. I think, you know, they can get into that conversation. I'm not going to say they're going to take the division or even a wild card, but they'll be in the conversation in August, which hasn't happened in a long, long time.
National League East, it's a stacked up one there at the top. The Braves, of course, the reigning champions. The Mets, again, spending money. The Phillies, I kind of like maybe as a dark horse there. Then you got the Marlins with all that young talent, a playoff team 2 years ago in the weird 2020 season. How's it shake out in the NL East?
Yeah, I think the Braves are pretty clearly at the top of that division right now. You know, I mean, I like what the Mets have. If they can stay healthy, I mean, the fact that they're already talking about throwing an opener in the first game, maybe the second game with DeGrom and Scherzer's issues. Yeah, you know, that's not exactly a great start to the season, but, you know, I think they're going to be good. I think, and I'm going to say this, and it would, you know, I don't think a lot of people agree with me. It would not stun me if the Marlins finished second in that division.
Wow.
It really wouldn't. I think I like what that pitching has. I think Sandy Alcantara is a guy that was massively overlooked last year. He had a fantastic year at the top of that rotation. You know, I think you look at Trevor Rogers. He was really good last year, finished second in the NL Rookie of the Year voting. He's there. Pablo Lopez is a guy I really like. You know, I just think they have a lot of arm. They have a lot of talent. They went out and got a couple of guys, Navistar Garcia and Jorge Soler, that are going to add much-needed thump to that lineup. You know, I think if a couple things go right, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see that, because I also have, you know, I have questions about the Phillies, and as much as the Mets have a lot of pieces, I have questions about them as well.
We are running out of segment, and it's a good thing, because with the Dodgers going to run away and hide. Who finishes second to the Brewers? Who finishes second to the Dodgers, if indeed you see it that way?
Yeah, I think the Cardinals are pretty clearly the above the other teams in that division. I think the Cubs are going to be better than people give them credit for. I think the Cubs are going to be around 500, which is probably more than most people think.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Cardinals are going to be competing with Milwaukee. You know, they have a lot of questions in the rotation with Jack Flaherty, his status in doubt. So I think that's a big thing for them. But they can hit and they can field, and that's a couple things you need to do, especially the fielding part of it. In the West, you know, the Giants aren't going to win 107 games, but I mean, there aren't a lot of teams that win 107 games. So they'll be good again. I think the Padres will be better. I like the trade for Sean Manaea that they made because they learned last year you can never have too much pitching. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. But I think those are the teams that could be right now.
Yeah. And it looked like they did have too much pitching. Anyways, Ryan, thanks for doing this. We will click on your article tomorrow and see your predictions as you get them in print at the Sporting News. Great stuff. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. We will talk to you in the weeks, months ahead. Thank you, Ryan.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Good to talk to Ryan Fagan, Sporting News, as we talk a little MLB. Trent's play of the day. Circus Sports sponsors it. Well, it's got to be NBA tonight, right? You're not. Are you going to?
I like hockey.
You do.
Maybe not tonight.
Wild and the Preds are the game I'm going to watch tonight.
That sounds like a good
game.
No,
it should be a good game. Central Division. It's on ESPN Plus, though. There's no TV of it. But anyways, we'll take our time out. Trent's play of the day. Circus Sports sponsors. It's next. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.5.
Trent Condon here for the Urology Center of Iowa. Guys, you need to get that vasectomy, and you know what's right around the corner. It's March. It's college hoops in the biggest way. Wall-to-wall basketball for four straight days, and how great would it be sitting in that recliner without anything on the to-do list? Get that vasectomy scheduled right now with Urology Center of Iowa. Call them at 515-400-3550 or schedule it online at iowauro.com. Your recliner, hoops, after your vasectomy with Urology
45.com.
If you're thinking of incorporating or setting up an Iowa LLC, zoom right past LegalZoom and work with Rush Niggott, a Brick Gentry PC. He set up an affordable online small business package that helps you decide whether to form a limited liability company, LLC, or a corporation. With Rush Niggott's help, it's easy to form your new small business. Rush Niggott, a business lawyer with Brick Gentry Law PC. Go to rushonbusiness.com. It's good to have Rush.
By the club today.
Get in on the action with the world's largest sports book right at your fingertips. Circa Sports Iowa is where the pros play. Enjoy the highest limits, lowest takeouts, and competitive betting menus. Download, fund, and bet from anywhere in Iowa. Circa Sports Iowa. Sports betting the way it should be. Download your new bookie today. Visit circasports.com. Must be over 21 and present in Iowa to bet. Have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-UPWORK.
Do you remember when America, the Dallas Cowboys, won their first Super Bowl with Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, and company? It's been a while, but the answer is 1993. Do you know when Wolf Roofing started roofing houses? That's right, 1993. Wolf Roofing has been around for a long time. For your next roofing project, put the experience of Wolf Roofing on your side. Find them on the web at wolfroofing.net or give them a call at 515-225-8866. Or online.
KXNO.
Des Moines homeowners have two questions. What's the best time to rent out my home? And what's the best way to do it? The best time is when you're moving, relocating, combining households, inheriting a house, or you just don't want to pay a mortgage anymore. The best way to rent? Hire Renter's Warehouse. Whether you have one home or a property portfolio, Renter's Warehouse does the work so you don't have to. They perfectly price your property so you don't have to. They find great tenants in just 17 days on average, so you don't have to. And for a small flat monthly fee, their professional landlords manage your property 24/7 so you don't have to. Collect the rent? You don't have to. Maintenance, inspections, and tax paperwork? You don't have to. There's no upfront fees, no binding contracts, and you can cancel at any time. Find out what your home will rent for by calling 515-528-4429 or go to renterswarehouse.com. That's renterswarehouse.com. Renter's Warehouse Des Moines. You can't buy happiness.
Bets off. It's time for Trent's Pick of the Day. Brought to you by Circa Sports Iowa. Here's Ken and Trent.
All right, final minute of the program here on a Tuesday. Circa Sports sponsors Trent's Play of the Day. What are you playing tonight?
We got a five-pack of NBA games tonight. I couldn't find just one or two that I liked. I like five of them. Four dogs and a favorite. Starting early, we get the Pacers plus 11.5. Tyrese Halliburton playing at a really high level. Pacers have not given up on the year, though they're not going to end in the playoffs. I'll grab the 11.5 with Indiana.
They have no shot of getting in the play-in round?
Nope. Okay. They are out. The Bulls still playing for seeding, as are the Bucks. Bulls against good teams, it's been a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm getting 6.5 at home. I got to jump on. DeRozan, put that team on your back. Give me the Bulls plus the 6.5. Spurs, I'm getting 9.5 tonight at Denver. Just got to grab it again. They're fighting for the Lakers. Memphis, always play Memphis. It's been a great money-making proposition this year. They're getting 5.5 at Utah. And finally, the Lakers are done. This is the time we're going to lay the points. It's 11.5 with the Suns. It doesn't matter. The Lakers stink. I'll lay the 11.5 and take the Phoenix Suns.
All right, there you have it. Which is your best bet? Do you have one best bet of the...
Nah, I don't do best bets.
Gotcha.
I just like all five. Play all five. And make a profit.
So
that's
3-2. That's the goal.
4-1 be better?
It would be.
5-0 would be the best.
Perfect. Murph and Andy, they'll be in an hour and 4 minutes. The Fanatics at 3, Cyclone Insider Radio. Peterson and Hines comes your way tonight at 6. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station. Thanks for being with us on 106.3 KXNO.